Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
670 The Score is the official radio home of Cubs baseball. Listen to all 60 games of the 2020 season here.
It's got a chance! Cubs win!
Live from the Hyundai Studios, this is 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A radio.com sports station. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
3-0. Ooh. High and inside. Ball four. Bregman nearly got nailed.
That looked like the changeup that Joe Kelly was working on at home that missed the big net he was throwing into, but did not miss the window to his house. Just a little bit off the strike zone.
Here it comes. That's just what he did, and he got a swing and a miss from Correa to get out of the inning. Oh, Joe Kelly strutting his way off after an interesting inning. All right, so the benches have cleared, and we'll do our best to maintain social distancing while still sending a message both sides.
I would definitely think that the word cheater has been used at least a dozen times.
Yeah, dock a guy 8 games. He didn't even hit anybody. Those highlights courtesy KLAC 570 and SNLA. Still that bad blood manifesting, and that's a lengthy suspension, especially relative to a 60-game season for Joe Kelly. Here to talk about that and more as baseball has returned is our friend Cody Decker, who is on Twitter at Decker6. He of the radio.com Swings and Misses podcast is on the Alpamonte Ford hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. How you hanging in, Cody?
Oh, you know me, man. I'm living the dream.
Well, we had a bench clearing brawl with nobody really brawling. It was a clearing of the benches and a positioning of themselves. I'm thinking like West Side Story, Jets and Sharks, that they're just going to have some interpretive dance go on. But they didn't seem to know what to do or how to do it. They just knew they were mad at each other.
Yes, it was very, that's actually a very astute description of it. It was very West Side Story. Both sides doing a dance off, and then everyone had to disperse. It was the punishments that are involved right now with brawling. It's just not even worth it. But the bench is clearing. The message was sent. The end. But the Joe Kelly suspension, I quite frankly, is a joke.
Well, it's ridiculous because he didn't really hurt anybody, and all of these guys got off without any punishment for actually cheating.
Oh yeah. I equated it yesterday on my show to the ending of The Shield. It was like where someone's that the main character is asking for immunity, no one really knows what for, and then he starts to admit everything after he gets the immunity, and everyone and the look on their faces are of what? All of this happened? It's like that's what happened with the Astros. They were granted immunity, and they said everything that they did, and Major League Baseball stuck in a position where, wow, we're not going to punish these guys for cheating for 3 years. And you know, Joe Kelly took it upon himself. Now, keep in mind, after my strong opinions over this, some people were like, oh, so it's okay to headhunt? That's not what headhunting is. Headhunting is legitimately throwing at people's heads. You threw the ball behind Alex Bregman, all right? It wasn't all that close to him. It was a purpose pitch, 3-0, and then he ended up getting out of the inning. 8 games, in this season is the equivalent of over 21 game suspension. That is absurd.
As this is all going on, we get the news today, two more Miami Marlins have tested positive. So we are now at a total of 17. At what point, and baseball hasn't said at what point, nothing in their voluminous plans actually has any of these triggers. At what point are we? Can we not tolerate any more positives and not tolerate 19 or 20-year-old A-ballers representing big leaguers and just say that they are removed from circulation for the remainder of the season?
That's a very good question. They have a player pool, and the player pool does not have a ton of A-ball guys. There's plenty of big league ready guys. Like I have a friend on the team right now, Ryan LaBarnway. He's played plenty in the big leagues. He's just sitting there waiting to go, along with a lot of other guys. That was the whole purpose of this 60-man player pool, and we're not dipping into the player pool at the moment because they won. Well, one, it's they are trying to be responsible in making sure that the player pool wasn't affected, which it appears it was not. But it's this is a mess to the point where Major League Baseball really needs to start asking themselves some hard questions, because if this happened to the Dodgers or the Yankees, would baseball still be happening right now? Because my answer is no. If this was a major market team with stars on it, Major League Baseball would be on pause for at least a week or two.
I saw you tweet something to this effect, and I probably was tongue-in-cheek, but do you think your phone might ring, being a recently retired professional player, that it's possible that some former players could be mustered back into service?
I don't think my phone will ring, but if my phone did ring, I definitely would answer it and have a conversation. I don't think it's really feasible. I would have to assume, and I strongly hope that teams have better options than me. But I'm definitely available as long as I keep doing my show. I'd be down to do it. I'd love to get some more at bats in. I had an at bat last weekend at my baseball facility in El Paso, Texas, and what can I say? I can still rake.
I love hearing the dugouts. I love hearing, we had Ian Happ on earlier today. I'm just talking about the energy in their dugout and how he says when he's in the box and he takes a nasty pitch and spits on it and everybody in the dugout sees it. It's like, yeah. Then, and it sounds like, you know, 9U travel ball. And it's awesome because we don't usually get to hear this stuff. And we imagine that guys are sitting on their phones or checking their investments or whatever they're doing, but they're just so into the game. At least the Cubs have been. And I've really enjoyed that.
The Cubs have been fun to watch thus far, haven't they? Especially Rizzo's hot start. I'm loving what I'm seeing out of Chicago. But no, it's great. I wish they would mic up everybody. I think they're terrified that every game would be rated TVMA, which I get because it would be. But you know what? Do that too. I want to see it. That Astros-Dodger game the other night, that was every reason why I'm happy baseball's back. The intensity was there. No fans in the crowd, and the intensity was there at all times. That 13-inning game they played last night was intense, which is actually the reason I actually like the extra inning rule. I know I'm a very, very, very much in the minority about that. But, yeah, no, it's great. It's a chance to pull the curtain back a little bit and see, you know, kind of the human side of baseball, which I think baseball's done a really poor job of showing for the last 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, and even when I was around it doing games in the minor leagues, I was always in the press box. So the stuff I would hear, you know, occasionally in an empty building, you'll hear something. But, you know, obviously being in the clubhouse and in the dugout before games is very different than when after that first pitch is thrown and these guys start competing with each other. And like before the brawl, I mean, to hear that, I'm positive it was Dusty Baker who said, "Get back on the mound, MF-er." And like, damn. And then he strikes him out. Nice swing, bitch. I mean, some of this stuff is just like you couldn't script it any better.
It's amazing. I'll give an example. This is something I used to always do to drive catchers nuts on the other team. I would always be at the top step, usually right around the steps, very close to the catcher. And whenever I'd see him clank a ball, you know, just not catch a ball cleanly, you could just hear silently, like just under the wind a little bit. Ah, baby, way to slow it down. And I would do it every single time he did it. So once he did it one time, he's annoyed. Once he did it three times, he's furious. And then when it gets to five times, it's absolutely hilarious.
So how mad do guys, do eventually they start laughing at it, or do they just get angry and say something to you?
More that our dugout laughs at it, and he's just getting angrier and angrier and angrier. And I step in the box and I'm like, "Hey, man, how you doing back here?" And he just stares at me like, "All right." good.
Who are some of the
little
best
things like that? It's guys are at each other's throats, but like in a friendly way for the most part. You know, you see the benches clearing every once in a while, but it's usually pretty friendly battle every day. But it's fun to watch these little things when you peel back the curtain, and I wish that they would be willing to do it more. I don't care. Put it on HBO Max if you're afraid you're going to get some F-bombs. You're going to get some F-bombs. Let's hear them.
What's some of the best stuff that you've heard? Have you ever said, oh, I'm stealing that? Or you heard a really good heckle, a really good taunt, whether it was one of your teammates or an opponent?
Oh, man, that comes to mind immediately. Not really, just like little jabs that are always hilarious. I think the funniest thing I've ever heard was actually from a fan. And it was for a teammate. We were for whatever reason, this teammate of mine, he was balding pretty significantly, and he was refusing to let go of his hair. And we get on, and the crowd was just all over him. The game hadn't even started yet. It was just game two of a series, and they were all over him the day before. And we're going to get outside to, you know, take our hats off of the national anthem, and all of a sudden they're still ripping him. He rips his hat, takes his hat off, and immediately you hear the same fan go, "Oh my God, that's terrible! It looks like you got a piece of bologna on your head." And our entire dugout lost it laughing. Like our dugout, like to our teammate. Funniest thing I'd ever heard in my life. And to the point where he shaved his head that night and he never looked back.
He turns around, "Thanks, guys. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Yeah,
appreciate
he's it." Like, "Yeah, way to have my back. Good teammates."
What's wrong with Christian Yelich?
I don't think anything's wrong with him. I think he's just on for a slow start. You've seen a couple of very slow starts this year from major star players. So I wouldn't read too far into it. Christian Yelich is one of the top five best players in baseball. I think this is a season that is kind of unprecedented, and I think any slow start by any team, it's not just him. It's teams off to a slow start. Look at the Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks are, in my eyes, a surefire playoff team, and they are off to, what, a 1-5 start? That's not good. That's not what they need. Reds are a team that's supposed to compete. They're 2-4 right now. So I think it's just a unique season, and I think everyone's under the microscope because of how short this season is, which quite frankly takes me back to the Joe Kelly thing. This suspension is absurd because it is an equivalent of 21 games. You can't take away a pitcher from a team that's supposed to win the World Series for 21 games for not even hitting a guy. Wasn't even ejected from the game.
Have you had a chance to watch Luis Robert in action?
Not enough, no.
Because until you see him, you're not the. When you see someone that size, you don't expect to see them move like that. He beat out a double play grounder that looked like routine, and he busted his ass. And apparently, the actual StatCast metrics said it was close to like Billy Hamilton movement for a guy who's 6'3 and 185 pounds. And this is why when I, you know, you laugh when we've made jokes about all the comps, and so many smart baseball people actually added up the wins above replacement of all of the total comps and averaged them out. And it's just amazing. They talk about, like, you know, Ronald Acuna Jr. with speed. Somebody else said Willie Mays. Someone said a combination of Andrew Jones and Bo Jackson. But when I saw that, my thought was I haven't seen a baseball player move quite like that since Bo Jackson. That's really how astonishing it is.
That's about the highest compliment you could possibly give, because Bo Jackson, who I always thought was just not a polished baseball player, but was just so athletic and so talented at whatever he did, it didn't matter.
He wasn't even that good a baseball player, actually, I learned. You know, in his entire career, Bo Jackson only amassed 7.7 wins above replacement?
Sounds about right, but, you know, if he touched the ball, it was gone. If he hit a slow roller, he was safe. If you hit a ball anywhere near him, he caught it. He was staggering, and it just makes you think, if he didn't play football, would we be talking about a Hall of Fame player right now? Because I think we would be.
And also, I think we looked at baseball differently. I think we measured things differently, and the spectacular moments meant more than the aggregate in a way we understand statistically now. I think we just sort of we weighted those things more. What would you do if you were talking about back to these slow starters, back to somebody like Chris Bryant, who is very honest about his, you know, he'll have a crisis of faith in himself sometimes. He has these confidence issues where he needs to, he says, I go to look at my baseball reference page and I see that I have a career 900 OPS. And I think, oh yeah, I'm good at this. I can do this. Now that it's all so compressed and now that we have players who are going to have to deal with this, what's the best advice for understanding the urgency of the season and not making yourself a complete basket case?
I think that depends on the player. It depends on the coaching staff that you have. You know, that's why I think David Ross is such a great choice for manager, because he's a guy that's once been in that clubhouse, and his job is not necessarily to manage the game. The game manages itself. You can really handle managing the game is not as difficult as you think. What's difficult is managing your players. David Ross was one of them. He was on that team as recently as, what, 2 years ago, was it, or 3 years ago? He knows these guys. Chris Bryant is... The only thing that makes Chris Bryant different than anyone else is that he's willing to admit these things, because that is true. There's not a single player that you've ever seen on the field that doesn't have crisis of faith in themselves once a week. It's very easy. You can go 4-for-4, but the next day you're 0-for-5. One of my best games I ever had, I had a 4-for-4 game, 2 home runs. I was in AAA in Omaha for the Royals, 2 doubles and 2 walks. Had an unbelievable game. The next day I went 0-for-5 with 5 Ks. This game will get you fast and immediately make you think that you're not what you are, because that's just the game. That's also the way the game is brought up, because in the minor leagues they make it very clear to you that you're always a day or two away from being replaced by a new guy. That's just kind of the culture of baseball. So I used to always watch videos of my past home runs, be like, okay, what did I do right? And I'm looking at that, I'm like, okay, that's good. I'm like, wait, why am I even doing this? I'm very good at baseball. There's a reason I've been playing for 11 years. But it's very easy to get in your own skin, under your own skin, if something goes wrong. And with this season being so short, I think you got to look to your teammates, you got to look to your coaching staff, you know, to remind you why you're there.
Very quietly yesterday, there was an agreement that was finalized between MLB and the Players Association, agreeing that players who steal signs electronically can be suspended without pay or service time. It was Evan Drellich of The Athletic that broke the story and says, mm-hmm. Now everyone faces potential suspensions. The rules continue to put the emphasis on manager and general manager. There's no present length of or preset length of punishment for players who violate the rules. Precedents will develop over time. But now, Cody, now it's codified. Now we do have it in writing that Rob Manfred can punish players for doing this. When we talked last year before our world changed and talked about all this, and you described what you thought was relatively widespread. It might not be all as sophisticated as the Astros or the Red Sox, but the teams in a lot of places have been rumored to be doing this. Do you think this stops it? Have you heard that there's been less of it in this resumed season?
So I haven't heard even rumblings of it taking place since the season resumed. I think everybody may have scrapped that part of their R&D department, because every team has an R&D department, and they sink a lot of money into said R&D department. I think it was also a combination of, it's like when you see a player, you know, with his right hand and index finger, middle finger, scratch at their left forearm. We know all you pitchers are putting rosin and sunscreen on your forearms. We know you're doctoring every single pitch. I know that. It's the ones that are just not subtle about it. That's the problem. I've yet to play against a guy that doesn't do it. But, and they can give every excuse they possibly can. Oh, it's for grip. Oh, it's for that. Okay, whatever. What you're doing is cheating. The Astros were so overt about it, it was almost insulting. I have not heard anybody doing anything this year so far, but also the season is young. But now the fact that there is hardline rules in place where people will lose their jobs or potentially their careers for doing it, I think is actually a good thing. I'm normally not a fan of anything Rob Manfred does or touches, but this is a good thing.
Because we're looking at the Astros, obviously, in focus, and we're not going to have enough of a statistical sample size over 60 games to determine. But I'm not saying, I'm just saying, whether it's Yelich or somebody else, if a drop-off is sustained, and or if we have home road splits that might start showing things this year into whatever next year looks like, we might have an indication of who was using what, if someone else is otherwise healthy and otherwise the same player.
Perhaps, but there's also the fact that guys are just sometimes slow starters. Look at a player who is MVP caliber player in Paul Goldschmidt last season. He was practically anemic for the first half of the season last year. The second half of the season, he put up MVP numbers and still finished the season having over 30 home runs. That's a tale of two cities right there. It's just sometimes it takes a while to get going. Sometimes guys get off to a hot start. I really think it is that random, and it's not as quantifiable as everybody wants to make it out to be. Everything in baseball needs to be quantifiable, and when something is not easily quantifiable, baseball people lose their minds.
Any conversation that can begin with West Side Story and end with A Tale of Two Cities was a worthwhile one to have. As always, Cody Decker, we appreciate you being generous with your time. Thank you.
No, you can, man. Anytime I can come on your show and drop some Dickensian type quotes, I'm on fire.
It's a far, far better thing. I do appreciate it, man.
Anytime, buddy.
That is Cody Decker. He is on Twitter at Decker6. You should be listening to his radio.com podcast he does with his wife, Jennifer Decker. Swings and Misses is the name of that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.